Well, I know that for many people, myself included, getting rid of stuff is an issue, and it can be an issue for a lot of reasons. Larry Mueller here, and I know, for example, parents' estates. So both my father died first, then my mother died later, and we had a lot of things that we had to deal with relating to the estate. Sometimes people move from a large home to smaller quarters. Or just sometimes you have a lot of things around and you want to get rid of them. And what do? You sell them? Do you donate them? There's a lot of ways to do it. And we'll talk with a couple of guests about that today and certainly invite your questions as we move along here today. If you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. And anywhere else, it's toll free at 1-800-642-1234. Talking with Sue Duncan. Sue of Madison owns the O'Dana Antiques and Fine Arts Center and e-auction place on Madison's West Side. She has more than 6 years' experience selling on eBay. She's worked as an eBay trading assistant since 2004. Larry Larmer with us as well, runs Aardvark Auctions and Appraisals, and he's written a guide, excuse me, to dispersal of property, and it's called How to Sell Your Stuff. So again, give us a call if you have a question, and we'd love to hear from you. Larry, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry. It's always a pleasure.
And Sue, thank you so much for being with us as well. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Larry, you wrote How to Sell Your Stuff. Why did you put that together?
Well, I just discovered after I retired from the university and started getting into auctions and things, that this is a real problem for a lot of people. As you said, sometimes you have a parent die and you have to figure out, maybe sometimes it's unexpected too, and sometimes maybe the parent has an illness or something and then they need to go to lower or smaller residence, and so you just got lots of leftover stuff, and if you haven't thought about it ahead of time and it sneaks up on you like that, you don't know where to turn, and so it's good. I tried to tell people where they could turn, what some of the options are, and there are a lot of options.
And we'll talk about some of those options today, certainly, or try to get through as many as we can. And Sue, you own O'Dana Antiques and Fine Arts Center, but you're also spent a lot of time on e-auction business too.
Right. We found that when we would go to people's houses to look at items to sell on eBay, that a lot of times people had great stuff that wouldn't do well on eBay. And there just weren't a lot of options if you had two, three, four nice pieces that you wanted to find a home for. So we opened the antique mall with a real strong emphasis on consigning items so that you could find a nice place, get a good dollar value for several items. But what Larry was saying, we find that a lot of older adults are coming in and they're saying, I don't want to leave my kids the five-bedroom house. They don't have a clue what this is. They don't like this stuff, and it's going to end up in the goodwill bin. We want to make sense of what we've got while we're alive. Maybe you set extra money and do something that we want.
And so, and make some money at it and go on a trip or do whatever you want with it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And so do even the elderly sell. You have a lot of people selling on eBay?
What we like to do when someone comes in is use a multi-prong approach. And we say, don't throw anything out. Don't call us after the garage sale. Call us before. And let us go through with you and say, this is a great eBay item. This is a great auction item. This is a great Goodwill item. This is a great take to the curb item. Most of the time, people throw out the items that have the greatest value without realizing that they do.
Is that right?
Yeah, that can definitely happen, you know. And one of the real problems that people have, Larry, trying to figure out what, and I'm going to use the term what something is worth, and then I want to amend it real quickly to say what's the market for it.
Yeah.
Because those are a little two different terms. And if you're thinking about selling something, you really want to try to figure out whether or not anybody wants to buy it, and if so, will it? What is it likely to bring? And there's just an awful lot of misconceptions about what something is going to sell for. You know, there's a lot of stuff around your house and my house that's perfectly good, and we're using it every day that really doesn't have much market value. And so items like that, maybe we'd want to consider just donating. Maybe there's somebody else down the line who can use those things.
Mm. And Sue, you said there are things that don't sell well on eBay. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things would those be?
Jewelry does horribly.
It does.
New jewelry in particular. Old jewelry tends to have a pretty good following, but a diamond ring, no, not going to go. Collector plates, the kiss of death, wedding gowns, not going to find a home. But unusual, bizarre, interesting, quirky things like two little matchbooks that say we shall return on them might bring $40 or $50.
How do you figure that out?
Normally we try and look at what items have sold for in the past. We try and use real auction data from completed auctions. And if we can't find them on eBay, then we try and look at other sites online for that information. And there's a huge difference between what sells in an antique mall and what'll sell online. I tried a really nice little umbrella stand on eBay, couldn't get $20, put it in the mall, and it sold for $120 in 2 weeks. Just put a dictionary on eBay, yes. Yesterday sold for $330. Tried it in the mall. I couldn't get $125 for it. So there's really a difference in what people are looking for. eBay is a measure of collectability and not a measure of worth or value.
Very interesting. Larry Larmer and Sue Duncan are guests today. And as you're learning, they know a lot about how to get rid of your stuff here. And if you have a question about situation that you might be in regarding some of your own property and want to talk about what's the best way to approach it, getting rid of it, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions or comments. So if you're going to sell something, it might be eBay, it might be at the antique mall, it might be what other things? Obviously, garage sales can work.
Yeah, a garage sale or an estate sale, or some sort of a tag sale where you set the price yourself. Or then the other option is an auction, and take advantage of competitive bidding. If there's something that's in demand, has a strong demand for it, why then getting people to compete for it is usually
pretty good
approach. Yeah,
and I should have begun the show by asking you a little bit more about your own businesses and tell us a little more about Aardvark Auctions and Appraisals. What do you do, Larry?
Well, I guess the little niche that I've kind of fallen into is that when people have small amounts, but not necessarily enough for their own auction, because there's a lot of overhead connected with an auction. You have to have a certain amount of gross
sure.
to make it work. I am able to pick things up, store them, and wait until we have enough to put together and then conduct an auction. I really try to limit it mostly as much as I can to antiques and collectible type items. On the other hand, if we have a nice estate with a lot of stuff in it, certainly we're going to be taking that. So that's kind of the little niche that I have, Larry, just kind of putting things together.
And Sue, maybe just talk a little bit more about O'Dana Antiques and Fine Arts Center.
Well, when we started, we wanted to be something different than an antique mall. We really wanted to see ourselves as a one-stop shop for antiques. And we take that approach differently than most stores. We do have a number of dealers in the mall. We have over 65, and we focus on items that are pre-1969, but we also teach classes on antiques. We run flea markets. We're doing our first auction with Larry on March 31st, and then we offer the eBay services. We wanted, when people thought of antiques, that they could come to one place and basically have all of their antique-related needs met. The nice thing about eBay is we're not limited to antiques and collectibles. We sell boat motors and riding lawnmowers and, a little bit of everything under the sun. But our view was to have a place where people could have all of their antique-related needs addressed, and we found that to be pretty successful.
Mm-hmm. And do you both have websites or places where... Larry, have you got
I do. It's, if I can remember, www.aardvarkauctions, with the S on there, .com.
Oh, aardvarkauctions.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're www.odanaantiques, with the S on the end of antiques.com, and eauctionplace.com.
Eauctionplace.com. Well, let's go to Jerry and Abrams first here. Jerry, hi. Thanks for calling. Jerry, are you there? Where is Jerry? We lost Jerry. Well, let's go away from Jerry and find Bridget in Bailey's Harbor. Bridget, hello.
Hi there. I have a question about a crystal lamp. It has 10 pieces. It must weigh 25 pounds, and there's a sticker on it that says, Made in Germany, U.S. Zone. Okay. And I'm having, I don't know if I could sell it and then ship it, being that it weighs so much.
I see. So the question is, you know, would it be something to be sold on eBay, or where would you go to sell something like that?
What would be the history, actually, of the lamp?
Yeah.
Well, U.S. zone would be the U.S. occupied part of Germany after World War II. So that would give you roughly a time to date it around the World War II era. When you're looking at ship, I think you want to find out what's it worth to start with.
Exactly.
And that you can do by, if you've got access to a computer, looking on eBay and trying to find some kind of similar item and seeing what it sold for. And then you can get a sense, well, what did they do regarding shipping? Did they do local pickup only, or did they go the route of shipping? You can ship almost anything. And my experience has been that if you're going to do something incredibly fragile, you want to have UPS or FedEx pack it themselves. If you have a problem, they're going to pay a claim significantly quicker if they actually did the packing.
Hmm.
I've done research on it. And I'm having trouble finding information out about the lamp itself, and were crystal items produced in Germany when it was occupied by the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
back then?
You see more of them coming from Italy and Czechoslovakia. If you want, send a picture to our email address, and we'll see if we can help you track it down.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Right,
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot for calling. And now let's go back to Jerry and Abrams. He had a cell phone issue, I think. Oh. Jerry, hi.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I had a couple comments. I was going to say one thing that might go for $55 this week on eBay might bring $200 next week. It all depends on who the audience is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I have, a motorcycle. I buy old motorcycle memorabilia. And I have an old repair manual that I got for $60, and I saw it go for $562 weeks ago, and it was in worse condition. You know,
but you're going to hang on. But you're going to hang on to your copy.
Oh yeah. And another comment: my brother-in-law, he fixes clocks and he sells them on eBay, but he's had a couple of very serious problems shipping them overseas,
mm-hmm.
getting lost, and taking care of the claims. So I advise anybody shipping overseas to be very careful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're right about that price discrepancy, and I think that's the joy and the challenge of any kind of auction format, is it depends who's there, who's bidding, whether they've duked it out with each other before, and how much they're willing to pay for that item. You're absolutely right. There can be incredible differences on the same item.
Well, just as an aside, how much trading do we actually have? Know how much trading is done on eBay? I mean, the number of items that sold must be fantastic.
A phenomenal amount.
I have a brother-in-law who's, I don't know how many cars he's sold on eBay, and he's purchased, he lives in Atlanta. He and his wife and daughters live in Atlanta, but he's purchased cars in Chicago and sold cars in, I think he sold one of his cars in East Coast somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes it.
Yeah. Well, it's an incredible amount of stuff sold on eBay. And Sue can say, however, that it's not necessarily trouble-free all the time, too.
Yeah.
No, there can be a number of very serious challenges. You need to know who you're buying from. Check out their feedback ahead of time. I'd recommend always paying with a credit card, because if there is a problem, you can go back to the credit card company, even if eBay won't help you out. You know, I got taken for $800 this summer, and I'm still trying to work it out with the person. It definitely happens.
No. And what about, and just to get back a little bit to the estate sale mm-hmm. side of thing, when you've got a house, let's say, all right, there's two kids, and there's the mom and dad have just passed away, and you've got a house plumb full, it's probably a good idea to rely on somebody else to help you out with that, Larry.
Absolutely. Well, let's compound that scene just a little bit and say that the children who are in charge of this don't even live in the same city, and that happens a lot.
Or the same state.
Or the same state, yeah. That happens very often. Yeah, you need to find somebody who can help you identify things, what should be sold, what is not worth it. You may even have to hire somebody to just do the grunt work of taking things to the curb or getting them ready. An estate sale person or an auctioneer would be a good place to start, I think. and you know, they're listed in the Yellow Pages, you know, mm-hmm. and they may not be the ones to do all of the work, but they would probably know where to send you to have somebody come in and do the initial sorting and so on.
And I assume in a lot of cases, if you live in the city, you can get some references or what have you. But is there some sort of organization or professional group, Larry? Or
yeah, there is a Wisconsin Auctioneers Association and a National Auctioneers Association. And one of the things about auctioneers is that in order to conduct an auction in Wisconsin, you have to be licensed. And there's a regulatory board, and they have some pretty strict, you know, there's some laws about how you run these things. I don't think there's anything, I don't know whether or not there's anything comparable for estate sale persons. I know they don't have to be licensed, but I don't know if there's an association or anything like that. But if a person were looking for an auctioneer anywhere in Wisconsin, you could just go online to the Wisconsin Auctioneers Association and find the ones in your
area.
In your area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Larry Larmer and Sue Duncan, our guests today. Larry runs Aardvark Auctions and Appraisals and has written a personal guide called How to Sell Your Stuff. Sue Duncan of Madison owns O'Dana Antiques and Fine Arts Center and E-Auction Place on Madison's West Side. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about what to do with all of your stuff with Larry Larmer of Aardvark Auctions and Appraisals and Sue Duncan of O'Dana Antiques and Fine Arts Center and E-Auction Place on Madison's West Side. Glad to have them listening in, and certainly join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. What's the strangest thing you've ever sold, Larry?
Well, the one that comes to mind, it wasn't in my auction. I was just being the auctioneer for another auction company over in the Milwaukee area. But I think it was a casket from someplace like Indonesia or something like that. I remember we got $50 for it.
$50 for a casket. Well, Sue, how about you?
It was the plans for the Monona Frank Lloyd Wright Convention Center in Monona that was never completed. Back in the 60s.
So the original plans.
The original plans.
Oh.
And the woman that had them was pressing flowers and ferns in them and decided that it was taking up too much room on her coffee table and walked them and dropped them on my desk with the little fern parts kind of falling out of them. And they went for $1,350 to a guy on the East Coast who was very into Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah.
So from $50 to $1,300, you never know.
You never know.
Arlene in West Allis, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Arlene.
Good morning. I've got a couple of questions, and they might seem a little strange. My husband used to work for a company years ago, Graf Beverages, and
sure.
In 1976, he has a collection of aluminum cans 5 feet tall. They're not full. They're empty, and he's collecting them, and wants to know what it's going to cost. I also have the plates for the cans. You know, it's a plate.
Wait a minute. He already has the cans?
He has the cans. They're in cellophane. They're in 24. You know how you stack cans in a cardboard, and they were wrapped in cellophane. And then you know how you have a can that is unrounded. It's the aluminum part that's like a flat. He's saving them, and, you know, it's like, I don't know if they're going to sell for anything.
And you want to get rid of them.
Well, I mean, they're up in the attic. They're collecting dust, yes.
Oh.
And I don't know, you know, I know the only thing they're probably good for is the aluminum, but they're 1976, the year of bicentennial year.
Okay. Well, Larry Larmer, what do you think?
I guess I would have to ask, are these advertising pieces? Do they have the company on them? Is that what
yes,
it is?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
They have the company name on them, and
okay. Well, for people who are into collecting advertising pieces, especially if they, you know, if it's from the area where they live and that sort of thing, there may be some market for it. It may be worth more than the aluminum than there. Did you say they were 5 feet tall?
Well, it stands, the way he's got it stacked up, they stand up. If you put them all together on they come in a flat of 24. And if you, case of 24, and if you stand in shrink wrap, and if you stand them, up, it's about 5 feet high.
Okay. Sue, you can chime in here, but I think probably if there's some advertising appeal for them, they might have some market. Let me just take a little side trip on this. A lot of people might remember when collecting beer cans was a big fad, mm-hmm. and you can't sell a beer can to anybody these days unless it happens to be one of the very old cone top types
right.
from maybe back into the 1940s, you know, and then you start having some market. So every now and then somebody trundles out this collection of beer cans, and they are worth only the aluminum, you know. But as far as your advertisers, I guess you would just have to kind of look in the area where this beverage company came from and see if there are any people collecting things from that area. Around here, old Oscar Mayer stuff, for example, mm-hmm. has a appeal. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Sue, do you have anything to
add
to
that? No, you covered that beautifully.
Okay.
I think what eBay did with the marketplace is it split it in half. It took things that used to be hard to find locally and might have some value locally and dropped the price out of it. If you can pick it up anywhere in the United States relatively easily online, there's not going to be a market for it. It used to be if you couldn't find it in Wisconsin or you couldn't find it in your local community, there might be a local market for it. Now that's pretty much been split. I think, you know, you might want to do a little bit of looking online and seeing if there is any collectability to it. My hunch is you probably could have a really nice party with a lot of soda.
Thanks, Arlene.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. Monica in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi.
Hi. I have an Edison. Has a horn and it has a painted floral design, and I have 100 rolls with it. It's in very good condition, and it does play.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds like something that could mm-hmm. be of value.
I'm assuming, is this a tabletop or is this a console type?
I'd say tabletop.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a pretty good piece. The one thing that I would say is if you were doing it at an auction, we would probably sell the record player first and then sell the these are cylinders, I think, right?
There.
Yeah, then sell those after that.
If your cylinders have any speeches in them instead of just music, they may have particular value. We sold one presidential recording for close to $235 for one cylinder. That's unusual. Most of the time, the ones with music, you know, don't tend to bring that high. But it might not be a bad idea to take a look at what you've got and see if you have any voice recordings instead of just instrumentals or songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there any other place that able to sell them? I'm really interested in selling it because it's all right, but I don't enjoy it that much.
Yeah, and you're in Fond du Lac. No?
I would have, if there's a local antique, if there's a local antique mall near you, bring it in and see what they would offer you for it or ask if they have a list of dealers who collect similar items. The problem when you're selling something to a mall or to a dealer is they're probably going to pay 25 to 50 cents on the dollar. Mm. If you can find a place that'll take it on consignment rates run anywhere from 30 to 50%, but then that rate is taken off retail value. So if it's worth, let's say, we'll make up a number, $700, and you're consigning it in a mall, you're likely, our mall takes 30% as a commission. And then if it doesn't sell, there's not any fees involved. So you really haven't lost anything by trying it. If you sell it to a dealer, they're probably going to pay you somewhere between 25 and 50 cents on the dollar. And I would show it to more than one person. You want to make sure that you get a little bit of competition going there and that whomever you're showing it to the first time knows that you've got somebody else looking at it and they're likely to come up a little higher in what they're willing to offer you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, no matter whether you're selling a single item to a dealer or a collector or if you're hiring an auctioneer or investigating auctioneers or estate sale people, go to more than one. Mm-hmm. Always listen to more than one, and they're going to tell you some different things. You can compare notes, and you're just in a much better spot. But, Sue, I wanted to kind of ask you, do you think that piece would be a good eBay item?
Oh, it would be a great eBay item. Edison's do fabulously. We've sold several for between $500 and $800, depending on the model, the condition, what parts came along with it. I mean, it'd be a fabulous item.
Well, thank you kindly.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot for calling. And Eben in Edgerton, hello to you.
Hi. I was wondering if something like this would be something you could sell on eBay or what you might recommend. I have a 28-pound amethyst crystal point. It's not a geode where there's the little points all inside of a hollow, but it's an actual point.
I'd have to do some homework to tell you. I mean, I think the best place to start is actually get on your computer, go on to eBay, and see if you can find a similar item. You can sell almost anything, and shipping, you know, if it was done correctly, I don't think you'd have to worry about breakage.
Okay.
Yeah, Larry, comment from you?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is one of the really nice things that eBay does for us is that it's able to find out what things have actually sold for. And I'm kind of going back to your first question to us, Larry, is, you know, kind of gets into discovering what things are worth. And we really want to know what they have actually sold for, you know.
Right.
Anybody with something to sell is going to get a lot of opinions about what things are worth, but it only matters what somebody will pay for it or, best yet, has paid for it.
Yeah. Well, and another effective strategy, a lot of times I pretend I'm a shopper instead of a seller. And if I were looking to sell a similar item, I might call up one or two of the local rock stores in town, like Bernie's Rock Shop, and I would say, I'm looking to buy my boyfriend the following item for his birthday. And it's about this size, and it's about this weight. And do you have such an item? And if you did, what would I be likely to pay for it? And that people are much more willing to help you if you're buying than they are if you're selling. And that way, at least you might get an idea of, well, if you can't find it online, what would retail value be locally? And then see, you know, if they're potentially interested in buying it from you. Separate phone call, though.
And when you say that you can find out what something sold for on eBay, I've never gone on eBay, so I don't know what it is. It shows you what things sold for.
You have to be a registered member in order to access completed auctions. But once you go on eBay, there's a toolbar on the left-hand side that says completed. And once you check that button, it'll let you bring up what items have actually sold for in the last 30 days.
Okay, so it shows you what sold in the last 30 days.
Right, and then you can compare how does what you have relate to those items, the same size, the same condition, the same shape.
Okay. Now, something like this, I doubt if one sells every month, so there wouldn't be any way to access anything that sold longer than 30 days?
It only lets you go back 30 days.
Okay.
The other thing you have to do if that's, you know, if you really want to sell it and you think it has value, is go to a professional appraiser who can do the research for you. Of course, you're going to pay that person.
Sure.
But that would be another way. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands of things sold on eBay in a month.
Yeah.
Well, and when you go to an appraiser, it's like what Larry was mentioning before. You have to ask the right question. And that is not, what is this item worth if I was going to put it on my insurance policy? What is this item worth if I were likely to buy one locally? And what am I likely to get if I were to sell this item? Because all three of those values are very distinctly different.
When you're saying sell something locally, I mean, is it still, even with something like eBay, there's a market for something that I would have thought that most things would have been commonly priced through the United States, but that's not true? In other words, take something like, say, American Indian basketry. Wouldn't that be the same in Wisconsin as it would be in New Mexico?
Most definitely not. There are huge regional differences in what items are worth.
Really?
Huge regional differences. If I'm going to sell a piece of oak, I want to do it in the Midwest. If I want to sell a piece of mahogany furniture, I want to do it down south.
Is that because mahogany furniture is more common in the South or more uncommon?
More different styles, different flavors and communities. In California, what you see are more European antiques instead of seeing more items from the Midwest. I think they're just large regional differences, everything in food, in taste, in entertainment.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I thank you very much.
Yep, thanks very much for calling. And Mark in Madison, I believe it's your turn next. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I had a comment about another way to get rid of some of your stuff. There's an internet process called free cycling. If you happen to go on eBay and find out that, you know, there's something that you'd like to get rid of isn't worth anything, you can just post a listing on there and say, I have this. It goes out on a mailing list. People on the mailing list will receive it, and if they want it, they'll email you, and you arrange pickup between the two of you, and it's just a really good way to get rid of stuff that you know, if you don't have a lot of it and you don't want to have a sale or anything like that, you can just, you know, post a listing. And it's a really good way to get rid of really specific stuff. I got rid of some computer hardware a while ago that was really a collector's piece, but I knew no one would want to pay any money for it.
Yeah.
But the guy I gave it to in Madison was just absolutely delighted to have it.
So I think that's a great suggestion. Whatever we can do to keep stuff out of the landfill, you know, and that's where a lot of stuff that doesn't have much market value will end up. And so that's a great comment. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Mark. Sure. Yeah, appreciate it very much. Free cycling. Good
Craigslist
idea.
Craigslist also affords you the opportunity to list items for free that you're trying to find a home for.
Craigslist, yeah. Marty in Athens, I think, is next. Marty, hi.
Yeah, hello.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, I got a question. I don't know if you can answer or not, but I got a 1914 Singer sewing machine. It's a pedal-type sewing machine. It's for sewing leather. I was wondering, you know, where would you find out what that's worth or if it's even something that somebody would buy?
There is, and I'm trying to remember the name of the group. Treadle On, I think it's called. There's a group of people who are really into old-time sewing machines. In fact, what I've heard is they'll help you Pony Express them across the country. If you find one in Wisconsin, someone will take it as far as Michigan, and then someone else will pick it up and take it to Ohio. There also, if I remember correctly, is a Singer Sewing Machine Museum in California. You're going to have to do a little hunting on Google to see if you can find out. The old machines that were used for sewing fabric generally bring between 100 and 150 realistically. You'll see them priced much higher, but they don't tend to move. But I haven't seen them specifically for selling leather.
And there are a lot of variables on the regular sewing machine, treadle machines that were just used for regular sewing. Some of them are more ornate than others. They may have condition is always going to be an issue in whatever you're selling. And some of them are very plain. I've had some just have hardly any decor on them at all. So those are some variables to be taken into account. Sue mentioned a price. That's probably more likely to be a retail price, isn't it, Sue? If you were to do something like that at an auction, unless we had just a couple of very motivated buyers, it probably wouldn't bring that much.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. And Don in Lafarge, it's your turn. Hi, Don.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for the show. I'm getting a lot of good ideas from it. I was wondering if you could tell me, are you there, Larry?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I was wondering if you could tell me if you got a clue as to what the value of, I've got 3 6-packs of Harley Davidson beer with the beer still in it. They're 1985, 86, and 87.
Well,
it's your back. Let me just say a positive thing. Harley Davidson stuff, generally speaking, is pretty collectible. It's not that old, and so that is an issue. It's good that the beer is still in there. I don't think anybody wants to drink it anymore, but it's good that it's still there and the cans haven't been bothered. There are Harley Davidson collectors. Boy, I don't know, Sue. Could you, anyway, you can put a value on that?
Without doing a little bit of homework, no, there is an issue involved, though, if you try and ship it, because you're shipping alcohol. And through the post office, that's a huge no-no. In fact, you can't even ship perfume through the post office because it has alcohol in it. And if you're caught, there's an incredible federal fine associated with that. There's also some issues around selling it with the alcohol still in it, too. So you're going to want to do your homework a little bit. But it's one of those things I would say, you know, you're going to want to go onto Google, do some hunting, look on eBay and see what you can find. In general, Harley Davidson stuff is good, but beer is hard to sell.
Yep.
Beer is hard to sell. Well, and you might even stop at a Harley Davidson dealership.
Yeah,
that's worth a try.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Or even just go, I mean, you know, the headquarters are close by. You might be able to track something down there, too.
Yeah. So a few things to think about, Don.
All right. I thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. And Dick in Lake Villa, I believe, is next. Dick, hello.
Hello. I've got a bunch of old movie cameras and projectors, Kodak, Model E, 16 millimeter and a 16 millimeter camera. Are those things worth anything?
It's going to depend a lot on the year, the model, and the make, and the lenses on them. Some are, some aren't. There's a huge market in old cameras, particularly on eBay, but the prices vary greatly. What you might want to do is stop at a local camera store if they're willing to look them over for you and tell you if they're in working order or not. That's the first thing. They do work?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then I would
used to use them.
Really? Yeah.
And then I moved up to, I've got a Bell & Howell. It's a, these things are about 1929, 1930.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Protector's about 32.
Yeah.
Yeah, eBay is probably your best bet on something like that. My own experience with those in live auction contexts is, and again, Sue's quite right, it depends on the models and so on, but old home movie stuff with the screens and ordinary projectors are not real strong.
No, they don't do much.
Not at auction, but right. On eBay, they
possibly.
Might.
They might.
They might do.
Casting a much broader net that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I told my son to look up on eBay and see if he could find anything. Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Sarah in Antioch, Illinois, we turn to you next. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks. I have a different problem. I'm trying to get something. I collect a one figure from the recent Star Wars, from episode 1 and on, and I have all the regular stuff that's out everywhere. Every once in a while I'll find something I don't have, but I'm looking for the more rare stuff, and I'm having a hard time finding it, especially for sale. I was hoping that you guys could direct me to some place I could try to look for this stuff.
And you've looked on eBay?
I have, and I have most of the stuff on there.
You're probably looking in the best place to start. I mean, there's individual shows that pop up across the country with focus on different movies and groups, but a good early Star Wars piece can go for $1,200, $1,300 if it's not, I mean, if it's in the original packaging.
And that's why I stick with the episode 1. I collect Qui-Gon, and he's finite, and he's in that one movie, and he's not as expensive, but they are growing for some of his pieces. They get upwards of $100 or more right now.
So. Well, it sounds like you're looking in the right place.
Can't help you out any more than that. I'm sorry.
But if I find one, I want to find out where you are.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, and as a matter of fact, if people want to find out where you are, Larry, and you are Sue, let's go back to that for a minute. How do people get a hold of you or view you online or whatever?
Probably email is a good way to do it.
What is aardvark
at chorus.net. That's what it is.
Aardvark at chorus.net.
Yes, yeah. And or you can call me in my telephone in Madison. It's 233-6335.
233-6335?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And your website address, you'd have your email address on your website.
Yes.
And that's
aardvarkauctions.com.
Aardvarkauctions.com. Mm-hmm. And Sue Duncan?
For eAuction Place at 608-833-SELL, so it's easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Or eauctionplace@gmail.com for our email address.
Uh-huh. And your website is?
www.eauctionplace.com.
eAuctionPlace.com. Hey, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Larry Larmer runs Aardvark Auctions and Appraisals. He's written a little guide on how to sell your stuff. He'd probably be able to part with one of those if you want one. And also, Sue Duncan, with us as well, owns O'Dana Antiques and Fine Arts Center and eAuction Place on Madison's West Side. They both have a lot of experience in this and certainly fun talking with him. We'll try and get him back sometime and do this again. And coming up, we're going to be talking about healthy hearts and heart disease. Dr. Leslie Cho is our guest coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.